There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly. Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition. Inside, you'll read,
The Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur. Amateur habitats and history. Social media plus me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs. The people who are doing life wrong. The speed bumps of life. The people that are in your way every day. The unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills. And are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. This is episode 113. WAP, we're in amateur purgatory. Fans first, special shout out to longtime no-see fan, Angel Chup in Cleveland. All right, let's get right to it. Topic number one. Did you know 2 + 2 = racism? Here's your headline from mynorthwest.com. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation bankrolls math is racist lunacy. Proving once again that all evil villains don't look like the steroid-using, snarling Marvel Comics characters. They walk among us. Oh, Bill Gates is a good man. He's donated so much. He's buying up all the farmland that he can in the United States. He wants to dictate what we eat. He makes computers. His propensity for depopulating the Earth is common knowledge. And now this driving out of this lane crap, this nerd did not get enough wedgies as a kid. To the article. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is bankrolling a group of activists who believe math is racist. A group of fringe educators, admittedly, it's a group of fringe educators, but the idea that that a single, solitary, reasonable human being would think math is racist, is that okay? A group of fringe educators have compiled a 6-part toolkit. Of course there's a toolkit! For those keeping track at home, this is the second podcast where I've mentioned toolkits when it comes to dealing with anti-white rhetoric. The toolkit offers an integrated approach to developing an anti-racist math practice viewed through a social justice lens. It chides the concept of mathematics being purely objective as unequivocally false. Okay, someone needs to teach these amateurs, these amateur educators, what unequivocally means. Unequivocally means in a way that leaves no doubt. So they're saying the concept of mathematics being purely objective, meaning without any bias or preconceived notions, is in a way that leaves no doubt that it is false. If you subscribe to that idea, you, unequivocally, are an amateur. And what's more, you clearly will believe anything told to you or written down. More on the reason for that in a bit. It argues, focusing on the right answer to math equations is an example of white supremacy. Something called a pathway to equitable math instruction is meant to help educators in grades 6 through 8. The toolkit focuses on the 2021 progressive buzzword of equity and claims white supremacy and mathematics go hand in hand, Why? Because you simply wrote that down and made that statement? Dogs or cats? Well, that's a thing now. I just said it. Oh, sorry. I didn't write it down. Once I write it down, though, dogs are officially now cats. The article says, the lessons in dismantling racism in mathematics instruction warn educators that white supremacy culture shows up in the classroom when teachers, quote, treat mistakes as problems by equating them with wrongness. Because it reinforces the ideas of perfectionism, that students should not make mistakes, and paternalism, that is, teachers or other experts can and should correct mistakes. Oh, you mean teaching. Math doesn't reinforce the idea that you shouldn't make mistakes, nor does English or history or science or public speaking or home ec or gym, for that matter. People are going to make mistakes. Why am I explaining this? I can't believe I'm defending this. This whole new idea of a man is a woman and a dog is a cat and there's no objectivity in math and everything is racist are literally, unequivocally, just words. And incorrect words at that. Just because an amateur says something is racist, like hitting a buzzer on a game show, does not make it so. In fact, the racist is the accuser. And the accuser is the racist. If you're going out of your way to look for racism in something as benign as a math problem, the problem is you. The article states that it doesn't explain why this is white supremacist culture. It just says that it is. The article says a quick way to dismantle the white supremacist culture, according to the text, is to eliminate order in the classroom. The text argues requiring students to raise their hands before speaking. Well, actually, the text says requiring students to raise their hand. Grammar police. So students raise their one collective hand. And these are educators, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, hey, you want to pull this bullshit about math is racist? I get to be the grammar police on educators. The text argues requiring students to raise their hands before speaking can reinforce paternalism and power hoarding. Yes, I remember being in grade school all through high school and college for that matter. All right, enough of the power hoarding. God, if you spoke out of turn all the way up through college for the most part, the teacher's like, what are you, you take it over? Was this a free-for-all? In addition to breaking the process of thinking, learning, and communicating. So raising your hand reinforces paternalism and power hoarding and breaks the process of thinking, learning, and communicating. So in other words, waiting your turn to speak and not just interrupting the teacher ruins thinking and communicating. By definition, waiting to speak is better communication. You're talking to a guy who speaks for a living on stage, on the radio, on camera, TV hosting, this podcast, public speaking. And as much as I enjoy talking, I still need to learn to listen more. And simply raising your hand when you would like a turn at speaking in a classroom of not just you and the teacher, but 20, 30 or more students is a step in the right direction. Because a free-for-all, anarchy is what teachers want in the classroom. No, asking students to raise their hands is called making kids focus and concentrate. All right, so no hand raising. Let's say, all right, no hand raising. Why not let them text on their phones and talk on the phone in class? Hell, I was watching The Little Rascals on DVD with my mom the other day, and the kids were in an old school schoolhouse, and when the teacher asked a question, the children raised their hands and, when called upon, stood up next to their desks to answer. Now, I'm not saying we have to go back to that extreme, but I am saying that is how they kept order in a significantly smaller class size back then. Not raising your hand and this whole idea that math is racist is anarchy for simply the sake of anarchy. This is railing against something because A, those educators are bored. B, they have no real way to improve the educational system in America. And C, they want their name mentioned in articles and the media and things like this podcast. Instead, it recommends you teach math via storytelling circles, incorporating dance, music, song, call and response, and other cultural ways of communicating. The hills are alive with the sound of morons. This toolkit explains that if you truly want to be an anti-racist math teacher, you must embrace your identity. Ah, there's a word I haven't heard in the last 10 seconds. And you're likely a virulent racist. But it's okay. And I'm reading from the article here. The resources will guide you through the emotionally difficult work of coaching for math equity. Phew, well, that's a relief. The article says, prior to engaging in any instruction sessions with students, educators must do some soul searching. They are told to address their underlying inherently racist beliefs and biases, positionality, and personal power within that positionality. Once completed, you're on your way to challenging the ways that math is used to uphold capitalist, imperialist, and racist views, and start embracing that communism. It's unclear why the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are bankrolling this kind of radical nonsense. The Pathways website thanks the Gates Foundation for their generous financial support of this project. No other nonprofit is listed for donations. According to the Washington Free Beacon, the Gates Foundation gave nearly $140 million to some of the groups behind the Pathway, whose anti-racist resources are the basis for a new teacher training course offered by the Oregon Department of Education. Do you know what good could be done with $140 million in America? That's an evil person. Bill Gates is an evil person. Why? Because he's a nerd? I thought all white men were evil, but not Bill Gates, the guy who is undermining the educational system and America, trying to buy up as much farmland as he can, running farmers out of business, telling you we're not going to be eating meat. He wants you to eat this synthesized crap. But that's a good guy because he wears glasses and he made computers once. People will just buy anything. And here's where amateur nation's feelings are mistaken for thinking. Amateur parents hear this nonsense, and because their knee-jerk wokeness kicks in and they feel, well, anything that is against racism must be a good idea. How can that be wrong? And I don't want racist children, so by going along, I'm doing the right thing. I feel that this is a good idea. Amateurs think that by going with their feelings, that gut reaction, that knee-jerk hit-the-buzzer-at-a-game-show reaction, that is the path to follow. Common sense never even enters into the picture because they gotta go along with the crowd. I grew up with a friend, John, who, by my standards, is a genius. He graduated with a double master's in mathematics and electrical engineering. We went to the same college. He and I had a good friendship in that when we were in grade school, I knew him from age 10 to present. When we were in grade school all the way through college together, when he needed help with public speaking and speeches and presentations, he came to me. And when I needed math and science tutoring, he helped me out. It's that whole left brain, right brain thing. I can't stand math. Not because it's difficult, which it is for me, not because it was frustratingly hard to grasp, again, for me, but because it was so absolute, unwielding. Math was always right. Public speaking and speech and writing classes? Well, I can argue my way around things. I can hone my own style. I know how to persuade someone, or at least I have various tools at my disposal that I can use. I can use body language and voice inflection, pauses, run-on sentences, volume, a lot of tools at my disposal to make my point in the written and spoken word. And when you factor in colloquialisms, dialects, and then foreign languages and their use of everything I just said, it's a rich tapestry. Never mind, humor is one of my biggest tools in my arsenal. As my friend John and countless other math geeks, as I'd call them, have said, math is universal. 2 + 2 = 4 in America, as it is in Canada, as it is in Ethiopia. My friend John used to say, math is reliable. It's constant. For me, what I hear is there's no flexibility, and I hate that about math, but I get it. I respect it. But that's why my feelings towards math were that of defiance. Stupid and irrational? Absolutely. But it's why all through my years of schooling from K through 12 and college, I cruised through all my classes with little effort, getting A's and B's. But with math and any math course, I really had to focus and buckle down and work hard just to get B's and C's, but the occasional A. I want to say it was the movie Contact and also maybe Real Genius two differently entire movies altogether, they make reference to the fact that math being the only true universal language. And I've certainly read that in magazines and online and heard it in science documentaries, etc. And if a language can be universal, where's the racism in that? Topic number two. I recently went to a local mom-and-pop hardware store, and of course, the mask crap is still going strong, as well as the idiotic stickers on the floor that tell you where to stand in case you were born yesterday. No joke, on the floor, instead of a sticker that read stand here or amateur base, it was an advertisement that read, and I'm not making this up, got pee? And the text read, get odor exit. Some product that, you know, you spray on if you got pet pee, or why would you have human pee on something that you own that you left there, but nonetheless, okay? You spray it on and it's stronger than Febreze. It eliminates these odors and strong stains and smells. The future of amateur advertising. On the one hand, you gotta hand it to the advertisers. They know that behind masks, social interaction is deteriorating, and people look for those idiotic stickers since before the pandemic hoax, we all used to stand so close to one another, we could feel each other's pulses through our genitalia. But on the other hand, A, it's a sad state of affairs when we now see advertising on the ground, and B, got pee? Really? The got milk people must be pissed. Because that was a successful campaign. It was succinct. People are still saying it and bastardizing versions of it. You can't just add got to the front of a noun and call that advertising. Got Dodge? Got paper shredder? Got herpes? So as a reminder, the amateur equation, stupid plus obnoxious times rude divided by entitled plus inconsiderate equals amateur. It's in my book. As I've said on this show and in my book, you only need two of the five factors to be an amateur. And the more factors you have, the greater the amateur. To that order, I do indeed endorse the idea that inanimate objects can be amateur because of their poor construction or lack of efficiency, or they don't do what they're supposed to do, especially considering they probably were made or touched by an amateur at some point. That being said, I posed this question on Farcebook. Does anyone else talk to or yell at any inanimate objects in their home when they don't work properly? If so, are there any particular objects that you argue with, so to speak, than others? And here are some of the funny answers. Troy Weisenberg said, can opener. I think the magnetic piece isn't strong enough to hold the can, so I have to fight with it to actually cut the top of the can off. Now, I don't use a can opener. I can't remember the last time I used an electric can opener anyway, but I get it because it's like when I'm vacuuming and I have a good vacuum and I just can't seem to suck up a small piece of lint and I wind up reaching down and picking it up off the carpet and putting it into the vacuum. Son of a bitch. I get it. Vanessa Anderson of Uniontown, Ohio replied, it's a toss-up between my computer and my Wi-Fi. Mandy Kozlowski of Jefferson Hills, PA, remote control, usually when the batteries are almost dead. Michelle Markham, and she capitalized the word every electronic I own on Monday. However, I almost ripped the hose off the pump at the gas station on my way to work because I was struggling to get it untangled. I'm actually picturing that. That's funny. Dave Sharp of Cleveland, Ohio. Does my TV count? Absolutely. Neil Aronson of Los Angeles. Any piece of furniture I stub my toe on or bang my elbow against. I hear you. Jason Novicki of North Ridgeville, Ohio. My computer or the Wi-Fi. Apon Naparit of Tampa, Florida, had a great one that makes me nuts. My TV when it turns itself back on without my clicking anything. Mind-boggling. Yeah, I'll be watching TV and just like, I'm not the only one here. Why is the TV turning off and then on? Gina Stewart of New Franklin, Ohio. My Alexa, bitch gets me fired up some days. Get rid of it, Gina. It's invading what little privacy you have left. But do you see a theme here? I had about 90 replies and 2 days worth of responses, and most are electronic themed. When TVs are turning themselves off, Alexa can't do shit, Wi-Fi and computers prove themselves unreliable daily. So of course, electronic voting machines are foolproof. Quick reminder to follow me on Instagram, at LouSantini3, and on Farcebook, facebook.com/LouSantiniEntertainment. We'll be right back.
There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition.
Inside, you'll read,
The Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur.
Amateur habitats and history.
Social media plus me, me, me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Topic number 3. Are you tired of your baby acting like a baby during diaper changes? With all the fidgeting and fussing? Yeah, I know, that's rude, I agree. You'd think your baby would sit still while being changed. Probably fidgeting due to all the racism bouncing around in its head. Sorry, I can't say your son or daughter. I'm not allowed to say his or her anymore. But how do you get your son or how do you get your offspring to stop squirming during diaper changes and learn to get through life by being constantly entertained like, you know, adult amateurs? Enter Diapertainment. Yes, it's a poorly named product, but ready for this? Here's the slogan from their website, Diapertainment.com. Bye-bye, alligator wrestling. 30 seconds of entertainment equals squirm-free diaper changes. Amateurs just can't have even 30 seconds of strife, a problem, life. Once again, advertisers creating a false need. All right, go ahead. Lou, well, you're not a parent. You've never changed a baby. It's hard to change a baby. I've seen it. I mean, I've stood right there. I'm like, wow, the kid's really squirming. But, you know, considering what's happening to the baby, yeah. Okay, and not to mention, isn't changing a baby supposed to be kind of a bonding thing? I get it. Sometimes it's, you know, you're in the middle of a flight. You're trying to change a baby in an airplane. It's not exactly a bonding experience. You just want to get through it. But in general, at home, isn't that like when parents kind of, you know, they coo and goo-goo and gaga and the eye contact and smiling and tickling things? Come on. I'm sure it can be a hardship at times, but 3 things. Does every minute of an amateur's life need to be easy? Does every minute of a human's life need constant distraction and entertainment? How many things can you waste your money on? Oh, wait, Bill Gates, $140 million to say math is racist. So there's an answer. In the Our Story of their website tab, it says, in a desperate attempt to keep our daughter still for a few precious seconds, we would sometimes hand her our phone, bad parenting, a silly thing to do with an expensive device and a toddler. We brainstormed a way to keep baby entertained, keep our phone safe, and make changing diapers a bit easier. Diapertainment was born. By the way, in case you're wondering, well, Lou, exactly what is this? Here's what you're paying for. A bracket. It's a wall-mounted bracket that holds your cell phone in the baby's eye line so you can put something on distracting so your baby stops being a rude, inconsiderate, racist amateur and holds still during the changing process. For discussion, you are aware there are countless adjustable cell phone holders that simply clamp onto a base, right? I have several. What about when you change your baby anywhere but when you're at home? Then what? Oh my God, the baby's squirming! So you need the baby to sit still for 30 seconds while you spend an additional 30 or more seconds finding entertainment appropriate for a baby on your phone, putting it in the bracket in hopes the baby will look in the direction of the contraption distraction. I know. Lou, how much? I want them to take my money. It's only $20 for a phone bracket. Money you could spend on stupid things like baby food and actual diapers. Time now for Off Topic. Schitt's Creek. I get it. It's like shit, but it's spelled differently, so it's not like saying the word shit. I love shows where they telegraph a lame pun within the title. Pass. Speaking of comedy, but this. Trevor Noah and The Daily Show on Comedy Central could be the laziest and corniest writing with the most pandering content ever. You can tell Noah doesn't believe a single premise or punchline he delivers. He doesn't believe in the integrity of his own material. It's on his face. He should be ashamed to call himself a comedian. I know I am, and I know I don't call him one. Scumbag, corrupt, incompetent, hypocritical, non-mask-wearing Emperor Gavin Newsom of California has been accused of having an affair with a high-level staffer. In other news, water is wet. You know, I recently forgot the birthday of a cohort in entertainment, and I felt bad, but I also really hate saying the words belated birthday. It's like you're calling attention to your own neglect, or it's like you're saying, oh, yeah, that. To which I pose the question, how far past someone's birthday are you still allowed to say happy belated birthday without it sounding stupid? A week? A month? You tell me. So it's been a year, over a year, and you're telling me we still can't go to church. We still can't go to school. We still can't be in a movie theater, for the most part. We need to wear masks because coronavirus is floating around everywhere. I saw this posted everywhere. It's been over a year. Shouldn't the non-mask wearers and non-mask believers be dead by now? Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Been watching a series called The Food That Built America on the History Channel. I also watched a series called The Cars That Built America a while back, and before that, The Men Who Built America. And what do all these shows have in common besides the word that built America in the title? Capitalism. Capitalism built America, not government-run shit. None of these shows are entitled The Politicians That Built America. The private sector always does better and runs things more efficiently than the government. Case in point, mail delivery. UPS, DHL, FedEx, way better than the post office. When will people wake up and realize that Americans know how to run things better than the government politicians? Why don't average Americans run for office? Because they make more money and get to use more common sense and operate more ethically in the private sector than amateur politicians who just want their hands in things and favors and kickbacks. Politicians' jobs should only be to see that Americans are doing things by the book and balancing and maintaining the budget and spending and doing things like making sure crime doesn't happen, whether it's white-collar crime or violent crime. But check out The Food That Built America on the History Channel. I mean, just the story about the Lay's potato chip empire is something to see. Number two. Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, a documentary on Netflix. I'm a huge soccer fan, played 10 years, had a tryout with a minor league team when I was younger, and I realized I was not good enough. But now I'm the stadium announcer and halftime host for the return of the Cleveland Crunch Pro Indoor Soccer Team. I love the World Cup playoffs. And to me, the World Cup Soccer Championship is the only true world championship. Oh, the Atlanta Braves, the World Series. No, you didn't play against the world. You played against America. Same with the Super Bowl. But I digress. This documentary, Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, on Netflix, delivers. Here's the synopsis. For four explosive years, Pep Guardiola's Barcelona produced the greatest football in history, seducing fans around the world. In this exclusive firsthand account of events between 2008 and 2012, the players themselves revealed the tension of the bitter Mourinho-Guardiola rivalry. The emotion of Abidal's fight against cancer to lift the European Cup, and how Messi, the best footballer in the world, nearly didn't make it. Number three. Boy Missing. It's a Spanish movie from 2016 that has a lot of twists and turns in it. Here's the logline. When her son is kidnapped and later found traumatized, a lawyer takes justice into her own hands, causing events that spiral out of control. This is one of those movies that you like to watch because you want to try to figure it out before the movie unravels. I'd like to consider myself a pretty smart guy when it comes to that, but I did not see this turn about 50 minutes into the movie. Boy Missing on Netflix. Check it out. All right, so if you have a topic or you read or saw something or something happened to you that was amateur related, or if you have a comment, criticism, or you're an advertiser who wants to reach people who have common sense, email me, lou@lousantini.com, and download my book on Amazon. Subscribe to my YouTube page and hear the show on 16 podcast platforms. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. So remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. See you next week.